course, he's dead, you know. Probably sound just like him now. Glory, glory, glory. Who was it? Somebody here with, or was it, went to heaven and said they saw Elvis? Glory. Yeah, I'm glad anybody's there. Praise the Lord. Of course, he grew up in a Pentecostal church. Filled with the Spirit at a young age, he was a Pentecostal church. And his mother was strong. She's old Church of God, you know, Assembly of God. Grew up in Assembly of God church. His mother was a strong Church of God, you know, had the bun and all that. And grew up like that, so you had to get somewhere down in you. But that's why he's miserable all of his life. That's where the flesh and the spirit war with each other, and he is at constant war all of his life, trying to spirit dealing with him all the time, and him going the opposite direction, miserable, miserable. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. We look at a good scripture. Praise the Lord. We watched a video Tuesday night that was outstanding. I mean, was outstanding. And there's a second part to it. I'm sure it's as good. I'd watched the first one before I showed it, but I hadn't watched the second one yet. But it's as good, isn't it, Ma? So if you'll come Tuesday night, you'll be blessed, I'll guarantee you. You'll be informed about the hour we're living in, the condition of our nation, and where we're headed. Trump is a reprieve. I mean, you don't realize how blessed we are to have a president like we've got now. I mean, I don't, you know, like everything he does, everything he says, or some of the ways he says it. But nevertheless, you can't fight without being a fighter. And he, that's what he is. But we're restraining and pushing back the evil or the darkness. And he is, more than anything. And it's surprising. I like what Doc Barclay said last Saturday night when we were watching the webinar he had talking about the end times. And what gets me, and he said something about old Bernie Sanders. He has raised a time $38 million. At his average online giving is $18. How in the world do that many people in America believe, and that's just a portion of what believes that's giving him money, that want socialism that bad? That shows you the condition of our nation. And these videos show us and tell us how we got there and where we're at. I mean, I know that. I know where we're at. And I've known how we got there. And I've seen it and see it. And but it's sad that most of America doesn't see it. Sad most of the church doesn't see it. And we're going blindly. And if God doesn't come, if one or two things doesn't happen, if we don't have a move of God to where we repent and get back to God, or you know, if he doesn't come, we're in trouble. America's in trouble anyway. I mean, it's just, you know, God, he has to hold it together. But if one of these liberals get in, one of these socialists, I mean, it's amazing. Amen? Me, I mean, we can make it. You know, no matter what happens, I don't want it to be here. I want Morgan and our grandkids or your grandkids to have the America we grew up in. That's what I want them to have. I don't want them to have what these liberals want. They're socialists, you know, and it's something. They don't like God. But we love God, don't we? So if you can come Tuesday night, you'll be blessed. Well, you need to come. The whole church needs to hear it. But I like what Wendy said. It's for those who are willing, not for those who need. That we all need it, but the only ones that are willing gets it. Of course, that's what Jesus said. That's why he spoke in parables. Just for those who are willing or who will come, not for those who need it. For dear God, we know the world needs it, but he doesn't give them anything. Not one thing. He lets them stay blind, and he lets them go off into destruction. Romans 8:28. Everybody loves this verse. It's a good verse. Amen. But we have to see it in context, which we do. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I've heard that quoted ever since I've been in church. And a lot of people quote that and don't even know what they're talking about. They quote it and don't even know what it means. They quote it and don't understand it at all. But we know for a fact, at least ways I do, that all things don't work together for my good. Dear Lord, all things working are not for my good. Just in the natural or going through life. All things. So they say, well, no matter what happens, that's like somebody gets sick or gets cancer, get whatever, and you say, well, all things are working for my good. Well, that's not. That's not for my good. But you have to understand in the context of this, now all things will work together for our good. And they will turn out for our good. And we can make it, but we have to make it turn out for our good. We have to make it work for our good. Just because it comes against us, that's like Thessalonians says, in all things, you know, give thanks. Didn't say for all things. It said in all things. So we don't give thanks for all things. You understand? I don't like to be sick. I don't like to feel bad. I don't give thanks for that. I don't like to be broke. I don't give thanks for that. But in that, I give thanks. Why? Because he's my healer. He's my provider. And in the midst of all of that, no matter what comes against me or how it comes against me, I know how we can turn it around and make it work for our good. Amen? Just like Joseph said, the enemy meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. So Joseph, everything he went through, once he got to the throne, he could see all that was working to get me here. Why? Because the last part of that verse says he was called according to his purpose. Now you got to be in his purpose. If you're not in his purpose, then it's just que sera, sera. It might turn out for you good and it might not. So you got to be in his purpose. What is his purpose? Well, his purpose, we'll show you some things. Well, his purpose is you got to serve him. You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and him only shall you serve. You have to serve the Lord. You have to go to church. You have to praise the Lord. You have to do things. You have to be a tither. You have to be a giver. For things to work for your good in finances, you got to be a giver. Amen? You have to be a giver. And so the enemy is going to attack you. The enemy is going to cause you trouble. But in the midst of all that, God will cause it to work for you. Praise the Lord. All you got to do is make sure you stay in his purpose, not your purpose. It's called according to his purpose in your life. What is his purpose in your life? Well, one thing is not doing what some Christians do. That's not his purpose. Notice what the first part of that verse says. It says, and we know. Now, the first key to making things work together for your good is knowing. It says, and we know. Well, if you don't know anything, then nothing's going to work for you. You can't just go through life blind. You have to know something. You have to know Scripture. Amen? Amen. Look back in verse 18, see what it said. And I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory that's revealed in me. Well, thank God. You have to know, no matter what you're going through, it's going to work for your good. And no matter what it is, it cannot compare with the glory that's going to be revealed in you. That gives you hope. That makes you strong. That causes you not to give up. That causes you not to throw in the towel. That causes you to keep your head back and stay in faith. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the Son of God. So you're going to know some things. Without knowing things, you'll give up. We know that all things are working together for my good. Back over in chapter 5 of Romans, you'll look back there, some things you need to know. In verse 2, or verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know that you have peace with God. He's not against you. You have been justified. He has made you clean. You went before the judge and you've been cleared of all charges. You're justified, made right, stood up straight. You have to know that. If you don't know that, you'll go through life feeling guilty all the time. You go through life feeling condemned. You go through life with your head hung down. The devil will beat you up because you don't feel justified. He'll say, well, you're wrong in this, you're wrong in that, you did. You can't have peace with God. You have to know above everything else that you have peace with God. No matter what happened, no matter what you do, no matter how bad you do it, you got to know that He loves you and He's not going to give up on you and He has peace toward you. Now, He may not be happy with what you did. He may even chastise you for what you did, just like you with your children. But you still are at peace with your children. You don't get your kid, 5-year-old kid, running around and said, honey, you've started a war. And I'm your worst enemy. And I'm going to attack you. God, you don't know. You always have peace with them. Amen. You might want to start a war with them. But they're your kids. You have peace toward them. And if you don't, you'll be estranged from God. Always afraid of Him. Shamed. That's the first thing that happened to Adam when he sinned. He hid from God. That's what we do. Our old nature is hide. We hide from God. That's why the Bible says over in Hebrew, come boldly before the throne of grace. Before the throne. Come boldly. You're not ashamed. A lot of people, the reason they won't pray is because they're ashamed. They don't think they can or don't think they know how or whatever. I used to talk to God every day. Up at the barn when we lived in Burnsville, I'd go up there and sit on a barn sill and talk to God. And I remember telling Him to teach me how to pray. And the Holy Spirit, He said to me, what do you think you're doing? Well, I thought prayer was some kind of all kind of legal stuff, and it is to a point. But prayer is nothing but talking to Him. Not being afraid of Him, not being running from Him, but running to Him and talking to Him. That's prayer. But I thought it, was something, I didn't know what it was. I said, do you teach me to pray, Lord? I hadn't even read where the disciples said that. They're as dumb as I was. Or I was dumb as they were. Both of us were dumb. And I was praying the whole time. They were with Jesus, saying, teach us to pray. Well, you're with me, But he told them how to approach the Father. You approach him first with worship. Hallowed be thy name. You approach him in worship and honor, and you're humble before him and those things. He won't look at you if you're prideful. He won't even look at you, let alone talk to you. A haughty look. If you even look haughty, he'll turn his face from you. So the number one thing, if you don't get along with God, you better not be prideful. Well, you can't come before God prideful or arrogant. You know, he won't even look at you. So, praise the Lord. Now notice what that says. That we have peace. Through him, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in pressure, tribulation. Now, tribulation is just life's pressure, just going through stuff, things happening to us, just the pressure of life. Paul said, we glory in that. Well, I don't. I'm getting there. Why don't we? Because we don't understand it. But Paul knew something we don't know. Amen? He said, we glory in tribulation, knowing. You know, knowing's everything with God. Knowing's everything with anything. The more you know in life, the more you know. Write that down. When you don't know, you don't know. And sometimes you think you know and you still don't know. And what you know is not everything. There's still something else to know. We have to spend our whole life knowing. Paul, if you'd think anybody that knew God would be Paul, and he did, far more than any of us. I mean, he had all the revelation of the New Testament. He wrote us and told us everything that happened at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nobody knew that, not even the disciples, until Paul got the revelation and wrote it and told them. He got all that, and he said, it was taught me through visions and revelation. He spent 3.5 years in the desert, and Jesus, no telling how many times, appeared to him and supernaturally taught him what happened at the death, burial, and resurrection and our redemptive rights in Jesus. He taught us who we were in Christ. He taught us all these. He taught us righteousness, taught us justification, taught us sanctification, taught us about the Holy Spirit, taught us about the gifts of the Spirit, taught everything. Brother Hagin taught the body of Christ more about the New Testament than anybody I know in history. If you study, there's some that had revelation on different things, but he had probably more revelations about more subjects in the New Testament than anybody that I've ever read from or whatever. He was taught that through visions. I think at least 14 times Jesus personally appeared to him. One time he said that he sat down and talked to him for an hour and a half. Pulled up a chair and sat down and talked to him. Wow, how would you like that? So he's in the hospital one time. He'd fell and busted his elbow, broke a bone in his elbow, and it was pretty bad, and he spent a night or something in the hospital. And he was laying in the hospital bed, and he heard somebody walking down the hall and said, he looked up, Jesus come walking down through there and walked in the door, come over and pulled up a chair and sat down and talked to him for over an hour and a half. Talked to him about why he broke his elbow. Said, you got out of my will a little bit, so I allowed that to happen so you'd understand some things. Next time you'll make that mistake. And all that happened because of the revelation he had. Same thing happened to Paul. He said, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Because of all the revelation I had, keep me being puffed up. And so many times, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin. He went to heaven, taught him, taught him about the prophet's ministry, taught him about healing, taught him about casting out devils. One time he was standing and Jesus appeared to him, and he and Jesus was talking face to face about the prophet's ministry and about some things, and a little demon, little imp, he said, looked kind of like a monkey about that high, got in between them, and a smoke came up from around that little demon and covered the place, and that demon was jumping up and down hollering, yakety-yak, yakety-yak, yakety-yak. And Brother Hagin thought, he said, well, why don't Jesus tell that thing to shut up? Don't he know I can't hear him good? And said it was calmed down, and he'd jump up and down and go, yakety-yak, yakety-yak. And he thought, why don't Jesus tell that thing to shut up? Don't he know I can't hear it? And said the third time that thing started doing that, and Brother Hagin got mad, and he said, in the name of Jesus, shut up. And that demon just left. And Jesus told him, he said, if you hadn't commanded him to be quiet, I couldn't have. And he said, now, Jesus, I misunderstood you. You didn't say I couldn't have. You said I wouldn't have. He said, no, I said I couldn't have. He said, but Jesus, I misunderstood you. You said you wouldn't have instead of you couldn't have. He said, no, I said I couldn't have. He said, but you're Jesus. You're Lord. You mean to tell me you couldn't make that demon be quiet? He said, no, I couldn't. Then he taught him on the authority of the believer. He said, if you don't do something about the devil, I can't. It's your personal walk. It's your life. I gave you authority. If you don't do something about him, I can't do anything about him. Wow. And he said, well, you just sure upended my theology. He said, well, your theology needs to be upended. Now see, there's where most Christians miss it, right there. We're waiting on God to do something about our situation, and he said, you have to do something about it. You resist the devil and he'll flee. You resist him. And if you don't resist him, he won't be resisted. He'll take advantage of you, and all things will not work together for your good. You have to take authority over the devil. You have to take it where your finances are concerned. You have to take it where your loved ones are concerned. You have to take it where your healing's concerned. You have to. If you don't do it, he can't do it. Do you understand that? Well, what causes us to lose in these matters? Ignorance? So Jesus gave him all kind of authority on that for what? To teach the body of Christ. To teach the body of Christ. That's why the Bible says, if you will believe his prophets, you'll prosper. He sent the prophets to teach us. Well, if Jesus spent all that time working on Brother Hagin, brought him off a deathbed, put him through all the things he went through to teach him faith, Jesus told him, he said, now I've taught you faith through the word and through going through things, through experience. You've learned faith. He said, now go teach my people. Go teach my people faith. Well, faith and knowing how to appropriate faith and believe God is what you need. And if you don't know that, you won't get it. So here we are, Brother Hagin, Jesus did, raised up a man, taught him all these things, said, now go teach my people. And here we are as Jesus' people, don't educate ourselves. We don't take advantage of it. And when you get to heaven, if you get there early, you get there late, you won't get there late, I guarantee you. You may get there early. Your finances are a wreck, your home is a wreck, your life is a wreck, and all that. Then Jesus said, well, it's your fault. It's your fault, not my fault. I did everything I could to try to get the word to you. All you had to do is pick up a book. and read it. All you had to do was listen to a tape or a CD. All you had to do was just educate yourself a little, and you wouldn't have went through all this. But what do we do in life, people? They educate themselves in every arena in life except the most important thing in their life. How to know God. We don't think it's that, well, I'm going to go to church. And I'll get something by going to church. You won't get nothing. Like going to school. Like I went to school for 12 years. I was probably there three. My mind was somewhere else every day. A lot of things they taught just, you know, and if you miss, like I said before, if you miss a grade or whatever, then you're behind. And once you get behind, don't you think that the whole system's going to stop and wait on you? They're not. Same way in God. Line up on line. And if we don't take the time to take advantage of the things that God has brought to us, then we'll live far beneath our privileges. And we'll get up and say, well, you know, all things are working for my good. No, they're not. No, they're not. But if you know how, they will. Amen? Notice Paul said, I glory. See, the reason we don't is because we don't know nothing. We knew what he knew, we'd glory in the pressure. We'd say, bring it on. Glory to God. Here come more pressure in finances. Here come more pressure in the family. Here come more pressure. You know, Paul said, glory to God, bring it on. Because he said, knowing that tribulation produces patience or perseverance. And patience produces character. And character produces hope. Hope is great expectation and confidence in God. Now, the reason most Christians has no character, it's never been birthed in them. The reason they don't have any fruit of the Spirit, it's never been birthed in them. They didn't go through the pressure and didn't go through what they had to go through to develop it. And when you stand before God, what you're going to give account for is whether or not you had any gifts or fruit of the Spirit working in your life. Not whether or not you had a gold star by your name in church. What produces character? What produces patience? Dear Jesus. Lord, you know I need something. I need it now. I've got to have it by Friday. Lord, I'll tell you, I'm praying, I'm believing. Friday come, you don't get it. He makes you wait. And you wait, and you wait. What are you going to do when you wait? What are you going to do when it don't happen? What are you going to do when it don't come through? Are you going to give up? Are you going to quit? Are you going to throw in the towel? Are you going to get up and stand? Perseverance. The Bible says, Hebrews 6, through faith and patience, they receive the promises. Faith don't stand alone. Faith within itself will get you nothing. You can't just have faith and it work. Faith comes by hearing, but it will not work unless it has two things working with it, patience and love. Without those two things, don't you think your faith will work? It won't work. The Bible says faith works through love. And if you try to have faith without love, Paul said, you just make a big racket. Everywhere you go, you're just clanging cymbals and a noise. All you are is a big noise. Are you out there? Yes. Paul said, Paul had character. Character stands. Character is what God likes. Character is what you'll be rewarded for. Character will cause you to make it when everything's going wrong. Character is what caused you to stand. Character is what you... You don't bow your knee with character. But you don't start out with any. You don't start out being a man of integrity or a woman with integrity or honest or upright or faithful or kind. It's got to be birthed. How's it birthed? Pressure. How do you develop a love walk? Being around the most unlovable circumstances and situations you've ever been in. Dear God, I'm going to bust somebody's head. I'm going to kick and scream, bite and scratch. I'm tired of this. I'm going to rant and rave. God says, pressure. Pressure. And with, Lord, I've took a hell all I can stand. No, you've not. Lord told me one time, he said, you're so frustrated you could buy a 10-penny nail in two. I said, you got that straight. He said, but if I turned you loose with the anointing that you're pressing me for and believing me for, you'd be like a bull in a china shop. He said, you'd tear everything up. Well, that's the truth. We want things from God, but we can't handle it. We want the anointing, and we want the power, and we want the money, and we want everything, and it won't work without character. It will kill you, destroy you, ruin you. God says, I'll give you that. I'll make you rich, but you're going to have some character. I'll give you the anointing, but you're going to have some character. I'll show you these things, but you're going to have some character. Without that, you're not going to have it. You can't take it. You're still a baby. Are you out there? God's looking for a mature church, what Ephesians says. A grown-up, full people that's able to handle what God wants us to handle. Not going through just church people. I guess I'm frustrated with church people, and it's called pressure. Amen. Lord, I'm ready to scream. He said, well, scream. I found that don't do no good. I have before. I went out in the woods screamed just as loud as I could. Not in recent times, years ago. I said, God, frustrated, aggravated, on the job, whatever. It's not ministry, my brother and sister. It's God working on the inside. What's that song? Oh, yeah. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Yeah, that's right. Knowing it produces patience, and patience character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit who has given these things to us. Or when you was without strength, in due time Christ died for you. And scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might die. But God died for us when we were yet sinners, and we sure unlovable. That's what that's saying. Now, look back over in Romans 8. Knowing. We read the 18th. Something else we got to know. Verse 21 of 8th chapter. Because the creation itself was delivered from bondage of corruption into a glorious liberty of children of God. For we know what's going on. We know what's going on in the world. We understand the times. We can understand by watching the news and see all these. We can see it, we understand it, and we know it. And we've been through some things, and we've developed a patience. We've developed a character, and it don't upset us. Because we understand and we know. And by knowing that the whole creation groans and labors of birth pains until now, not only that, but we also who have first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the redemption of our body. So we understand what's going on. We understand the times, and we're able to adjust ourselves and live in these times without being deceived, without being offended. The Bible says, be many offended, without giving up, without getting in fear. For the Bible says, many's hearts will fail them for fear. But we understand all that. And by understanding all that, we know how to adjust ourselves to live in the midst of it. And by adjusting ourselves to live in the midst of it, no matter what happens, it's going to turn out for our good. That's just like that everybody's afraid of Iran. Oh, I'll tell you, Trump started a war. I said, bring it on. Or are they going to start dropping bombs? I say, praise the Lord. Going to work out for my good. What do you mean? I'm out of here. Let her happen. We'll just sit back and watch it. Glory to God. We'll just watch them fall everywhere. You'll say, well, aren't you up? No. Because we understand where we live. We understand the time. And we know no matter what, he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. Can you see that? Praise the Lord. We understand verse 26. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. If we don't know how to praise, we ought. But the Spirit's making intercession through us. We understand. We know that the Holy Spirit, through us, we're praying. And we're praying about these things, and after that, no matter what it is, it's going to turn out for our good. It's going to work for our good because we are doing verse 26. You have to do these things, it's not going to work. Amen? 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God's for us, what's it matter? Who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, if he's going to give us freely all things, well, it's going to work out. We know that. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who has justified me. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, he's risen. Who is even to the right hand of God making intercession for me? Who shall separate me from the love of God? Tribulation won't. Stress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. For it is written all day long they're trying to kill me. All day long they're trying to lead me like a sheep to the slaughter. Yea, and all these things. Well, how do I know 8:28 is working out for my good? Well, I just read to you. They ain't going to take me. This will turn out for my good. This will turn out for my good. It's called believing God, faith in God, knowing the Scripture. Knowing. Amen. All right. Let's look. We know all this stuff, don't we? We're a smart bunch. We also know Isaiah, let me write these down. Isaiah 54:17, we know that no weapon formed against us will prosper. You have to know that. We also know Proverbs 26:2-27, that a curse causeless will not come. A curse cannot come on you unless it has a cause, unless it has an open door, or unless it has permission. And if we do what's necessary and what we're supposed to do in God, no matter what curse come, that's like people say sometimes, well, you hear what the witches are doing. It don't make any difference what the witches are doing. You know, Balaam was trying to curse God's people. Now, he was up on top of a mountain with old Balak, and he was up there, and he was trying to put a curse on God's people. Well, here the people of God was down here just having a good time. They didn't even know it. They had no clue until somebody wrote in the Bible and told them, did you know that whole time they was pulling witchcraft and everything on you? Really? Did you know last Sunday in church there's a whole bunch of witches over there trying to put a curse on you? Well, I didn't know it. Didn't care. Curse callers can't come. Are you out there? Praise the Lord. Well, here's another good one we'll look at. Look in 1 John chapter 4. Got a lot more scripture, but this pretty well says it. 1 John okay. You're making a lot of noises. Let's see. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone loves is born of God and knows God. Well, the number one thing for a curse not coming on you, in all things working together for you, is to, you got to know God. Well, the scripture tells me, without knowing love, you're not going to know God. I've had people say, pray for me that I'll know God better. Or, well, you can't know God if you don't know love. And the more you know love and understand love, the more you'll know God. And the more you know God, the more you know love, then you've set yourself up for success. Are you out there? It's amazing how the church, we've studied power and we've studied all these things, but we don't study love like we ought to. Amen? We've studied faith and spent the whole series, faith seminars and all that, and don't have, Brother Hagin's the only one I've ever known that had love seminars, taught on love the whole time. And nobody does that because we don't think that's necessary. Faith is what, but faith won't work without love. It just won't work. Amen? He who does not love does not know God. You don't know him, for God is love. And this, the love of God, was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Amen? If God loved us, is it a big deal that we can't get along? We ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, now notice what that says. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And what that's saying, you've seen God. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he said, I'm in you, and you in the Father, and all that. That's why he tells us we are his body. And he said, the world can't see God, and no man's ever seen God. But if you will mature and grow up in love, then people can see God, for God is love. Well, how do I grow up in love? Pressure produces these things. Are you out there? By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. What is his Spirit? Love. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son, the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we know, there you go, we know again, and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. Abide means to live, or set your abode, or he moved in with. He who lives with God lives in love, and God lives in him. Love has been perfected or matured among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Wow. Did you know there's coming a day of judgment? But if you have developed love, you're sitting there and gritting your teeth. I hope I'm next. I got to get in there fast. Instead of dreading to go to the principal's office, because we understand love and we understand he's love, and that's not your kind of love. That's his love, and it's developed in us, and we can't wait to see you. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll have boldness in that day. As he is, so are we in this world. Wow. I think sometimes we have a way to go. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in this love. Well, that's all of us in some level. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, well, he's a flat liar. Calm down, John. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he's not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother. Amen. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. That's what John says over in the 14th chapter of John, verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Love. Now, all things work together for good to those who are love God. We know that all things work together to those who love God. Who love God. Well, how do you love God? Well, I love you, Lord. I tell you, Lord, I love you. You better get out of my way, buddy. I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And don't catch you on a bad day, or we'll see who you love. You've not been developed. You have no love for God because you don't love your brother. You don't love each other. You don't love who you see. Are you out there? You going home? And we know that all things will work together for our good because we love one another. The love of God, there is no law against it. It cannot, will not, never will fail. Because God is love. Amen? If you get a chance to get home, read 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13, verse 4, and it tells what love is, but you can put in front of that, God is patient and God is kind. That's toward you. You better thank God he's a good and loving God. I do. So he tells us, now, if you want to make it through anything, then you call according to my purpose. What is his purpose? He's got one to love one another. Stand up with me, you bunch of love birds, loving people. Amen. Well, God knows what we need. He knows who we are. And sometimes we think, why, and we get upset because things not working, all this. He's just developing character in us. And we need that more than we need money. We need that more than we need power. We need that more than we need anointing. Try and develop love in us. And we grow and keep going and keep moving until, we just stop. And we'll be working on that till we leave this earth. And when we stand before him, he'll judge us based upon that one thing. Did you love me? Or... well, I was in prison. I didn't know you were in jail. I was in the hospital. I was hungry. And he said, when you've done the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Love. Love reaches out past who we are. Amen. Father, we thank you that the secret to Romans 8:28 is knowing. We have to know. And we know that all things work together for our good, because we love God and are called. We're called according to His purpose. We were called according to His purpose. He had a purpose for us. He had a purpose for us to walk the earth. He had a purpose for us to live. Purpose for us to be where we're at. He had a purpose for me being here. A purpose, a God purpose. And that purpose we overlook sometimes looking for it. We pass it up so much, pray about it so much, and miss it. The purpose is to love God with all our heart, all of our soul, and Him only shall we serve. It's easy to say, I love God, and not have to deal with people. That's easy. If we could live in the jungle and with nobody and say we love God, but how do we know? How can we prove that? How can we see that? How can it be seen? There's no way to show it. As James said, we have to show it by our works. That's why God didn't call us to live in a cave. He didn't call us to live in some place with hoods on our head and take a vow of poverty. He called us to live among people to show forth the love of God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of living. You chose us to live. You gave us the right to live. Let us use our life for your pleasure. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good, but praise the Lord. All right. You can be dismissed.